It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's the final broadcast for Sound Mind for 2019. As we get ready for 2020, how are you doing there?
Unbelievable. Yeah,
Happy
doing
New
fine.
Year.
Happy New Year.
Seems like this year has just flown by, Daniel. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, they just go faster and faster.
Well, hey, Daniel, you want to impart some wisdom for us as we head into this new year. I don't know that you've really talked about this idea before, the dualistic society, dualistic life versus God's abundant life.
Right. Well, we coming into the new year, we always think of, well, you know, try a little harder this year, do some things different, the whole thing of New Year's resolutions. And so I've done that before, and so many people are probably going to be talking about New Year's resolutions. And I thought, you know, I'd like to do get a little bit deeper. I think what we're what we try to do in New Year's resolution, we're fighting kind of against a current in our known nature, and so I wanted to try to articulate that, what we really struggle against, why can't we make these changes, and partly having to do with that, and just kind of like in a broader lens, talking about sort of the world we wake up to January 1st or January 2nd. And so pointing out some obvious things here, and then hopefully getting to a place here where we can just give a few pointers, two or three pointers and things that to take into the new year, things that will be, if we can remember to do them, be beneficial and put us on a better track. And I really think that the church as a whole, well, we can always do better, but I just sense that that we're in a time of real change in the church. There's a lot of dissatisfaction in local churches and all these things, depression and just, you know, I talk to so many people who struggle in church life, can't find a church where they feel that they're a member of the body. And I just hear that so much. And I just think that we're coming into a time where that's going to need to change and that it will change. So.
Well, what do you mean? That's a problem. What do you mean by we live in a dualistic society? What do you mean by a dualistic society?
Yeah, I'm going to use this term more in the in a more general sense, that not strictly speaking in church historical sense, where we talk about the dualists and the
but in secular society,
in this secular society, and it does actually reach back to those the church historical heresies, because it had to do with materialism versus the spiritual, and that's really the dualistic society that we live in. We talk about I've talked before on the show, and we'll reference it numerous times today about a fragmented mentality, a fragmented way of living life, and I see that in the counseling industry. And working with people, and in the counseling, and also in the news media, and just a sense that I get when I'm out and around, and just living daily life, that there's a lot of fragmentation in our society, and it has to do, I think, with the idea of people being split in their devotions between a materialistic world and a certain spirituality.
So sacred versus secular.
Sacred versus secular. But even in the secular world, people have a bent towards spirituality. I was listening to some people were talking about the new Star Wars movie, and they were talking about their disappointment in the fact that, I guess it was the Emperor... The Emperor has a daughter that turns good in the end, and I guess Luke has a son that rebels and turns good in the end. And they were talking about how it was so predictable because they turned good in the end. But I was thinking as they were talking, well, our society does want it to turn good in the end. We have this kind of underlying spirituality in our existence.
God. We want to be self-improvement, but without God.
So we have this split in truth is fragmented. It's situational. Look at our society and globally, really. Truth is situational, the whole gender thing and the rewriting of history and all the stuff going on in Washington, D.C. Priorities are fragmented. You know, we get up in the morning and we go out and we're juggling life without even so often focusing our day on a regular basis. I'm thinking of the fragmentation or the dualism is characterized in our society by things like anger and fear and shame and competition and sadness, discontent, loneliness, excess, thinking about all the things that we have that we don't really need, unrest, and relational and physical and mental health disorders. I was thinking about the term disorder here. Interesting. It means that things are out of order, and that's really what the fragmentation and the dualism is about, getting things in the wrong order. So as Christians, we want to recognize that this material world, first and foremost, we are spiritual creatures. And this material world that we live in is a shadow of the spiritual. And so often we get that it's our default to get that switched around. Mm. So this material world that we live in is largely to discipline and the material world, the experiences we go through in life, are largely to discipline our flesh. They're to teach us to be more spiritual and actually, you know, just abiding in Christ. This idea of abiding in Christ, not something that comes natural to us, but it is the natural order of things. Looking at John 16:33, you know, Jesus said, "These things I've spoken unto you." Of course, we want to read the whole chapter and go back and see what things he's spoken unto them. But these things I've spoken unto you so that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And when I read those verses, I have a tendency to read them like this. These things I've spoken unto you that you might have peace. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Mm-hmm. You know, or instead of these things I've spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So here's kind of this addressing this duality. We live in the world. It's not an either or, but we have to get these things in the right order. We don't just have peace. In him, we have peace. Apart from him, we don't have peace. He says, in the world, that's this material, secular existence that we have. You'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So the idea of abiding in Christ is fundamental, central, and as I said before, it's not our natural bent to abide in Christ, and it's something that is obviously a daily and moment by moment exercise.
Mm-hmm. Well, you abide in Christ too by dying to self. And
yes,
that's part of it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Dying to your normal inclinations, your worldly inclinations.
Right, because we want to have the control. We want to. I've said this before and recounted this little tale before of the little gal who wanted a new dress and tells her mother, "I'd like a nice dress maybe." So the mother says, "Well, we'll pray about it," and the daughter says, "But I wanted a new one." So we have this idea that if we abide in Christ, we're going to be somehow settling for less. Because we've got it backwards. We treat the material world and those possessions as though these are first and foremost, and that my life in Christ, my spiritual life, is something that I sort of have as a side. Mm. I have to keep checking in there from day to day so that I remember to be a nice person, as opposed to seeing it the other way around, as you say, saying no to myself, denying myself in order to abide in Christ. And a lot of that is, you know, the self is where the sinful nature is lodged, largely. Mm-hmm. And so although our immortal soul is saved, we still have to work out that our salvation. So we have this dualism, which is like material versus spiritual, and then it has an interesting mirror image, which is self versus other, because if you stop to think about it, that material, the material world and the materialistic lifestyle is a very egocentric lifestyle. It isn't about other people. It's about myself. And
living that way is what's causing all these social ills. Depression and anger and hostility comes from that kind of living.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And self and other. So there's a good deal of actually the biblical message is trying to get down and deal with this issue of getting us away from our self-obsession. Some of the main principles in Scripture, the principle of prayer and Paul's great revelation of the body of Christ, how that we are all members of the same body. And so we behave toward one another and we treat one another in that way, giving deference, giving preference, bearing one another's burdens, those kinds of things. Having a Christ-centered life means having a life that's given for others, given to others. So the self-centered life, on the other hand, is one of disconnect. We're disconnected. We're closed off. It's a shrinking world. It's a fragmented world. I did next week, I'm going to be repeating a theme that I did some time back, and it's the name of the show is When It's All About Me. And there are these reasons why when life is about me, I can never possibly be satisfied. It has to do with this idea of when I'm self-centered, I'm disconnected, not only just from other people, but from the purpose of my life. I'm closed off. You know, in the building industry, from time to time, I'd have to do some insulating, and, you know, you wear those little fiber masks over your. Mm-hmm. I hated those things. You're right. Breathing your own breath all day long. It's right. Like you couldn't wait to get a breath of fresh air when right. I got through, you know, but right. It was like...
You're going to get a bunch of glass in your lungs.
Well, yeah, but it was almost at times it felt like, you know, I thought, would I rather have the glass or would I rather be breathing my own breath all day long? Mm. But, we live in our, we breathe our own breath. You know, we get imprisoned with our own point of view. We follow our own footprints. This is where our disordered personalities come mm-hmm. from. You talk to someone who doesn't, whose life isn't open to other people and giving to other people, their viewpoint just gets more and more entrenched and more illogical and fragmented from, just a broader point of view. And when I mean broader point of view, I don't mean a secular point of view, but even in the church, look at the division in the church and of people just, you know, we've become so ingrown congregation to congregation. Mm-hmm. So when we come back, we'll try to hit on three or four simple things to try out this next year.
Okay, we want to get ready for the brand new year, talking about an abundant life versus this dualistic, secular, sacred way that so many people in our world live today. There is a better way. Daniel wants to explore that some more today. People want to explore that with you, maybe some counseling. They've had a real tough year. 2019 was bad. They need some help going forward. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is still 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you will also find about almost 5 years of radio podcasts. Pardon me. Yeah.
Okay.
Offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
All right. Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel looking at how to have a happy new year. As we head into this new year, we want to get away from living for self and living for God first and others. And it can be done, Daniel, can't it?
Yeah. Yes. Not easy. I think not I easy. almost called this show Life is Simple.
Life is simple, but hard.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it's simple. It is simple. I mean, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So that sounds pretty simple, but boy, is it ever difficult. And I've said before, and people would ask me, why do Christians need counseling? And my response, I want to say, because it's so hard to die. Mm. The idea of us putting others, putting Christ first, abiding in Christ. I'm going to read a scripture here from Colossians 3, and it's verse 3 and 4. You know, in our society, this dualistic or me-first society that we live in, people running around trying to figure out who they are. You know, you see all these. I saw a read in the Epoch Times. I'm a subscriber to the Epoch Times. Some of the listeners know what that is. And I saw on the opinion page, there was a guy there, and the thing that caught my attention was that the article was about anger, and I consider myself quite an expert on anger, so I thought, well, okay, let's see. And so the interesting thing was that now I'm gonna beat up on people a bit here, but the interesting thing was here was this person who's teaching about anger, and he's like flexing his muscles in a sense. I mean, his arms are in front of him, but you can tell he's still flexing, and he's got these tattoos all of his arms. Well, if you've heard me talk about anger and the different faces of anger, how these faces of anger have to do with feeling valued, having control, having power, resources. That was the image that I was looking at. And I thought, well, this person is an expert on anger, but here I see, you know, these images of what could be anger. People going around looking for, you know, who am I? How do I appear to other people? What's my image? And here in Colossians, we have this this little gem that Christ leaves us, and he said, or Paul leaves us, and he says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So I'm looking for who I am, and I'm hidden. I can't find me. For Christians, this should be just one of those things that we just tuck away in our mind. It's always, or in our heart, and just always remember that, you know, difficult to find myself when I'm dead and my life is hidden in Christ. So if I'm going to find myself, I'm going to find myself in Christ. It says, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is manifest, then you'll also be manifest with him in glory. Mm. Oh, that takes some patience, you know, waiting for investing in Christ instead of myself, and realizing that, you know, that, you know, I don't, by separating myself out, by disconnecting myself and kind of, and isolating myself to protect myself, I don't really find myself. In fact, I become more fragmented all the time. Mm. So I wanted to look at how can we integrate and just really get things in order. Yeah, we have to live in this world. We have to make our car payments, and we have to, you know, play golf and, you know, eat food and right. All these kinds of things.
Right.
But we need to get things in the right order. If we don't get things in the right order, we wind up living to ourselves. We become more fragmented. We find ourselves living what I call in the past, anxiety, depression, and the disordered personality, all these things we're trying to get rid of, what counseling is all about. So Matthew says Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, and this is just on the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, you know, he says, take no thought. And he goes through this, all the things that, you know, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to, and on and on and on, because, you know, your Heavenly Father knows that you need those things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And we get back to this missionary story.
That's kind of his,
I wanted a new one.
His procedure, his prescription for a sound mind,
mm-hmm.
That Sermon on the Mount.
Right, getting things in order here. So I wanted just three quick things. And these are, of course, they're not exhaustive, but, you know, they're pretty fundamental. And if we could just do these three things this year in the way of getting things in order, it can be a much better year. So the first one is, of course, we want to put spiritual growth first. Physical exercise even makes more sense, and it's easier to regulate when spiritual exercise is maintained. If you just think about that, anxiety and depression, those are spiritual things. That is, they have to do with our mind. and how we perceive things. And so if I'm not exercising, that can affect the way I feel about myself. But if I take care of my spirit too, and if I prioritize my spirit, what I've found is I'm even more likely to regulate good physical exercise if I feel good spiritually, instead of trying to get it the other way around, trying to exercise and get a good, and feel good that way, and not ever focusing, getting things out of order, not really focusing on that spiritual priority. So I thought of this, and this isn't very difficult to do, but I think at least twice, and I'd like to suggest three times a day, but at least twice. And so I like to do this in the morning and around lunchtime when I'm going to be taking a break anyway. But if you could do it more times, the more times we can do this, it's just much better for us. But at least twice a day, we just need to get quiet, just stop everything and get quiet and ask God, what do you want me to accomplish with the remainder of the day? What do you want me to do with the remainder? Now, as I said, you can break it down into smaller portions of the day. Maybe when you get into your car to go somewhere and you feel like being in traffic is frustrating, and that might be a time to just be quiet for 30 seconds. Mm. Just totally quiet and ask God, what do you want me to accomplish when I'm in traffic? What do you want me to, how do you want me to behave? How can I, and so forth. But we need to do that several times a day. So you could try it in the morning. It's a great time to start your day that way. And around lunchtime, or whenever the thought comes to you during the day. But just be quiet for 10, 15, 30 seconds and just ask God, what do you want me to accomplish for the remainder of the day? The second one is to be mindful of the fact that there's an ultimate purpose and that it's not only to do with myself. I want to consider the fact that there's an ultimate purpose that that is broader than just myself. I have a role in it, but it isn't just about me. We hear a lot of God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life, and we have to look at that through a lens this involves other people too. I'm a member of this body, but it involves other people, and I find myself not by looking for myself, but for, I've said often, you are who you are in relationships. So you find yourself by giving yourself to Christ and giving yourself to other people.
So what do you mean? So when you say try and find, be mindful of an ultimate purpose, what do you mean? More describe that a little bit more. What would that look like?
Yeah, the purpose that transcends me. We can all set out like daily goals or even monthly or annual goals. I want to get the car paid off, or I want to get the yard fixed, or I want to get a promotion at work, or I want to change jobs. We can set those things out, but we have to realize that those points of reference have no meaning. They're fragmented unless I have an ultimate point of reference, an ultimate purpose that ties all of those together. So we need to look at our daily lives in terms of those. These are the things I have to get done. I got to fix the car. I got to fix the, somebody's sick. We'll get medicine. We got to look at our lives. We have these things to take care of, but we need to make effort to look at the daily process of our life through a lens that says, there's an ultimate purpose in life, and all these things have to do in some way with that ultimate purpose. Now, I may not always see that clearly, but I need to be mindful of the fact that that's the truth of it.
Okay.
Yeah. And the third one here, we need to go a bit out of our way in order to serve other people. We usually have to say no to ourselves in order to say yes to Christ and others. And putting Christ and others first, counteracts the pull toward dualism, which is the pull toward myself. So those three things, listen to the show again.
Okay. Well, let's put spiritual growth first, being mindful of the fact that there's an ultimate purpose, and go out of your way to serve others.
And Christ first and others. So three simple things, not easy, pretty difficult, really.
Okay.
But get us on track.
Not easy, but doable, and it's a simple plan for the new year. If people are needing some counsel maybe in the new year, maybe they're going through some marital issues, they've just really had a bad year, They need to start fresh in the new year with some new perspectives, whatever it might be. Daniel would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number, 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where all these podcasts will be for you to listen to over and over. And offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.